Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Everybody, and welcome to the Star Wars Book Club podcast, your Star Wars Book Club podcast about all things Star Wars and comic books related. This is episode number 10. I am your host, Blake Schultz. With me, as always, Harley Salbaca.
Hey.
And Tyler Berry.
She's not my wife.
Yes, she is. We have to spend 7 issues debating this by using the same dialogue constantly.
Yeah, that's a little,
over and over again.
We can just go ahead and stop that now, anytime. Yeah. We get it.
So, yeah, let's dive right in. We're going to talk about the Star Wars main book, issue number 10 right now. Came out a little bit ago, but we hadn't talked about it yet. So, yeah, this Han and his wife thing is getting long.
Because how many? Okay, when she was first introduced as possibly his wife in what, issue 4?
At least 5.
I was going to say, I thought it was more like 5 or 6, but I could be wrong.
They all kind of blend together after a certain point for me, so. But let's say 5.
We read
5.
So many Star Wars books. It's like,
well, they kind of just congeal in my brain.
Keep track of all of them after a while.
Yeah, well, the Star Wars book, too, I've noticed, especially in reading 10 and 11 back-to-back, since we're doing 11 on our next segment, I was just kind of like, these really do all start to just bleed in, because there's, like, the story beats are almost more subtle, and everything kind of just flows really well, that it's almost hard to kind of be like, where did that one land and that one land?
I feel like that's how it should be with an ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
Episodic, but it feels like one big, long story.
With something that's supposed to be a space opera, too, then 100%, I'm fine with it feeling that way. It's just it's interesting because I've never noticed it in other comics to be this fluid, where usually each comic has, like, you turn the page and it's like, oh, no, a threat, or, oh, no, a reveal.
Yeah.
And Star Wars is just kind of like, we know you're going to come back. This is Star Wars.
Also, Jason Aaron is a badass.
He is great.
Yeah, I mean, that she's not my wife beat, like, I make fun of it and it gets on my nerves after a while, but the book is still great. Like, like 10 and 11 were really good issues.
Yeah.
It is, and it is getting to a point, it got to a point rather in 10 though, where like every time we were on Han and Leia, I was like, I'd rather just be following Luke and 3PO right now, because I know all that's going to happen right now is the same banter, and the only thing that really changed, which we'll get into I guess now, is Leia kind of selling Han out, which I thought was a really interesting sort of character choice for her, just because we've already seen her in A New Hope be like, oh, he's a good person, and they're kind of slingshotting back.
But I think right now a lot of it, honestly, is hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned. She feels a little scorned, because she's like, okay, dude, I guarantee she's getting sick of it. She's like, okay, are you married or not? Like, are you fucking married? Because if you're fucking married, then what have we been doing? We know we have like, I guarantee that's where she's at. So she's like, you know what? Fuck you.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I wanted to get into, when do we think Leia started having the feelings for Han? Because even in Empire, she was kind of like really playing off him. And it was a surprise when that kind of ended up coming up. Like, there was a lot of time, at least for me, when I first watched Empire, where people were like, oh, she might actually be into Luke. Like, there was a lot of like, you don't really know.
I think a lot of it, As a girl, I've sometimes really relate to Princess Leia, where you, like, if you like someone that you don't want to like, you're like, nope, I'm not gonna. I've been there, I've been like, I'm not gonna like that person. It's not gonna happen. And so then you kind of are a little bit more abrupt with them, just like Leia is with Han. So I'm like, I kind of get you. But yeah, I think that they kind of Jason Aaron kind of like hinted at it even in the first issue of this Star Wars series, where she's there and she's questioning him right away, and she's like, "Okay, so why are you sticking around? No, but seriously, like, why are you still here?" And she was kind of pushing him with that. It's because she's there, kind of being like, "Okay, am I crazy? Do you kind of like me? If not, I need to know. Like, I need to know why you're here." And because he didn't kind of tell her any reason that she felt was legitimate, I think that was her kind of being like, "Okay, yeah, we're into each other. Damn it." Like that moment. Am I the only person who's like ever liked someone and been like, "I don't want to like this person"?
Oh no, I've definitely been in that same boat. But I mean, it's a little different when you're the dude in that situation.
Right. Yeah, that's I think that's probably accurate.
But yeah, it's an interesting thing too, and I think it really does build on that relationship, and it's interesting. We've talked about this with a lot of the characters where we're going back in time and trying to build on something that exists with a beginning, middle, and an end. Like, how do you really play with that relationship growing that ultimately doesn't really blossom until he goes into the Carbonite? So I'm sort of curious how long that is going to play out for. And we've talked about it before where I'm like, I wonder how many legs this has before they just have to be like, "We're at Empire now."
Yeah. Like, well, that could be what some of the miniseries are going to do. I mean, I'm excited for Vader Down, so.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, wouldn't like, once we're done with Vader Down, wouldn't that kind of be the logical stopping point for at least this portion of this main book? Like,
that's what I'm kind of thinking, that then it goes to like maybe after they'll find Hoth. Empire, yeah, something.
Because if you look at it's the end of issue 12 of Vader, which we'll talk about on next week's show.
Yeah.
It gives you a list. It's like Vader Down, and then it's like Vader Down 1, Star Wars 13, Vader.
Yeah.
Or Star Wars 12, Vader 13, blah, and then like it gives you a list, but then there's like a stopping point at like, I think Star Wars 14 or something like that.
Yeah.
So that got me thinking, I'm like, well, is that sort of like, is that going to lead us to Empire, and like that's where it's going to be like the logical stopping point?
We'll find out soon.
Probably.
I'll have to look into that. I'll go back and look at my Marvel
previews. Yeah, you're the insider in this. Crazy group, so.
Yeah, I mean, but my insight is that I read previews.
Right.
Like, and anybody could read previews. I just have to read previews because I have to know what's coming out so I can do orders.
You need to hack into Marvel's mainframe. Right. As my understanding is of working in a comic book shop, you can have access to any comic book publisher's mainframes.
And she worked at Disneyland, so she has to know all the passwords to get in there. Guys, it can't be that complicated.
Guys, you're telling all my secrets right now. Like, can we? All right. I shouldn't have confided in you. Because obviously...
You were unwise to lower your defenses.
Obviously, I have access to all of those things. Duh. I mean, I'm like best friends with Jason Aaron. I wish.
Yes, that would be nice. But moving on away from Han and Leia's bickering like old wives about old wives.
I like it, though. I don't know. I like seeing them like that.
I'll bring it up when we talk about the next issue, but even like when that reveal happened, I was just like, finally. Oh my God.
Yeah,
like, yes.
It's getting to a point where I feel like he's literally just like, what should Han and Leia say? Copy, paste, great, moving on. Like, it doesn't even feel like progressive anymore. Now it just literally feels like them getting, they're killing time. Like, it just feels like he was like, ooh, I need to wrap up this issue, but I need to make this last until Vader Down. So I'll just have them complain about whether or not their wives exist again. That'll be fine. It's a pretty looking book, so they won't notice.
Yeah, the art is still just consistently so gorgeous. It's great.
Well, it feels like a Star Wars, like it belongs in Star Wars. Like, that's the most impressive thing about that art style. Yeah.
Because when I'm reading it and I'm looking at that artwork, like the way that the shading is and the colors and even just like the expressions and the movement, I feel like,
well, even just the way it's framed, it looks like they framed up a shot from Star Wars.
Yes, it's amazing.
Does anyone else like the way Chewie's drawn in this a little bit more than
in the actual
mini series?
Oh, 100%.
You do.
I love Phil Noto. Phil Noto, who does the Chewie book, is one of my top three favorite comic book artists.
No, the art's fantastic. I just mean, like, to me, Chewie looks a little bit more human in the main Star Wars book than he does in Chewbacca and the miniseries. He kind of looks more like almost like a.
He feels a little bit more detailed too.
Yeah.
We're in the.
I don't know. It's just a thought that I had because, you know, we're reading both at the same time.
I think you're right, and I don't have any side by side comparisons, but I feel like in the Chewbacca book, he always just kind of looks more. This is going to sound really weird, but I have a point with it. He almost looks more like just a Sasquatch, like just a big brown imposing guy. Where in the Star Wars book, he looks more like.
Characteristic?
Yeah. Like he has more almost emotion in how he like moves and acts and is like positioned and the way his like body works. Like there's more kind of there. Where in Chewbacca, he's always just kind of upright and walking. And in this one, you sort of see him like haunched or fluid. There's more.
I think a lot of it too, though, is that I feel like he doesn't get to do that much in the Chewie book for it being a Chewie book.
Hey, no arguments here.
And we'll get into that in a moment. But speaking of Chewbacca, I really did want to talk about him and C-3PO in this issue. And
oh, yes.
Because they are, one, nailing Anthony Daniels' voice for C-3PO.
Yes, they are.
Like, you can just
hear
his voice.
I hear it in my head.
That's how I read it when I'm reading it. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
But I think that can be said about all of the characters in Star Wars book. Like, I actually hear them. I hear the actors in my head it's that organic and believable.
Yeah. Like, the rhythm of how C-3PO talks is in, like...
He has it spot on.
It's almost very like Christopher Walken, where there's such a like distinct way his dialogue moves. And I feel like this comic has that for C-3PO, where they're like, well, he talks here, but then he kind of goes and he gets nervous here, and he'd get confident here and worried here, so this is what we should do. But more so than that, it's in this one where they're building on this relationship that really, like, speaking of something that, like, impacts the greater universe, it really makes what they do in Empire with Chewie and C-3PO 10 times more meaningful. Because, like, even 3PO in this issue is like, well, Chewie saved my life before. And then just grabs that shock bolt and just fries himself.
Yes.
It's so good, guys.
Amazing.
But
Chewie's such a badass. He's getting, like, electrocuted and, like...
Well, more so than, like, Han and Leia bickering around, this really, I think, strengthens the bond that they have more and actually moves the relationship forward.
I think it gave them a better relationship because let's be real, like, Chewie and C-3PO are always there together in the films, but, like, they never have, like...
Their interactions are very, like...
Limited.
And, they're like, around on, like, each a other. Superficial basis.
Yeah.
Well, and he is the one who, like, goes out of his way to repair 3PO and Empire, which makes sense because they're, like, buddies. Like, they're teammates. Like, it makes sense that he would do that.
Sure.
But now it really feels like...
Like, they went
it's
through
more
something,
than that.
Like, he's repairing him because he's his friend, not just his
Because they've been through shit together, just the two of them, and I dig that. Again, more reasons why they just keep strengthening and, like, adding more to these films.
It just goes back to
it's
what
amazing.
We've been saying since, like, our first episode, which is, like, the fact that these new books are being written by people like us, like huge Star Wars fans, like talented people who really care about the series and have grown up caring about it. It's and for some of them, it's probably the reason they got into the comic book business because of these movies. And it just shows more and more with pretty much every issue, especially when it comes to like the Leia book and Lando and Star Wars and Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's, it makes me really excited to see what they're going to be able to do post Force Awakens. Because you've got to figure that by once that movie comes out.
You just gave me chills just by saying post Force Awakens. Do you realize we're only 33 days away?
Yes, I know we're 33 days away. Oh my God. I mean, by the time you guys listen to it, it'll be less, but like.
Right. That's.
I thought about it when I woke up this morning and almost started hyperventilating.
I've been sleeping in my Chewbacca onesie every single night.
It wasn't.
We passed by the theater that we're going to be at last night when your girlfriend and my girlfriend and the two of us were out for dinner, and I just got heart palpitations for a second.
You guys are going on double dates?
Yeah.
That's
adorable. We're adults who do date-like things.
That's cute.
We don't just play Fallout for 20 hours in a week.
We're not all comic books and video games.
Yeah, I can't.
Sometimes you have to brave the world.
We can't triple date, guys, because I don't have
Oh, God, that just got real depressed.
Wow. So, guys, there's no more Jedi Temple. Speaking of things that people don't have, Luke doesn't have a Jedi Temple anymore. It's now an Imperial landmark. Oh,
guys, friendship's great.
Yes. Yeah, so that was an interesting thing to discover, that they just kind of dropped that on Luke, that they're like...
Tyler's face is the best right now. I wish that
I'm like almost in tears. That was so funny.
Like, he's like covering his mouth, like trying, just like he can't. He's the silent laugher. I'm the like super loud laugher.
I know. Oh man. But yeah, so that's an interesting thing, especially in Tyler, you finished Tarkin, right? The book?
No. I'm still not finished with
it. Okay. In wake of some of the things we learn in that, then, I'll keep it spoiler-free for Tyler, in case you're not at that
point. Well, I have to read after Tyler reads it. Using your copy.
Yep. You find out a really interesting thing about the Jedi Temple in that book. And also in the wake of finding those Force trees. Oh. It's just kind of interesting that one of the things Palpatine did was, like, crush almost not just the Jedi, but, like, everything that had to do with the Force. Like... Because we also know that he keeps the fact that he's a Sith hidden from even the Imperials don't know. Like, only Vader knows. And also what's interesting to it that I really wanted to bring up, and this is something that I think I talked about when we talked about the Force Awakens trailer a bit, but Star Wars is starting to do this thing where, like, I feel like half the time they treat Jedi and Sith and the Force like a myth, and half the time it's history.
Yeah.
Like, the Hutts and all the people on this planet were like, he's the last Jedi. Jedi's existed. We have all these artifacts. There was a temple. The Force is gone.
Yeah.
You're still strong in it, though. And then you have other people on the other side of the coin who are just like, no, there's no way that ever was real. It's just a story. And I kind of want them to either explain how Palpatine was able to, like, manufacture that in the short time between the two trilogies. Like, it was a few decades. But... like, even, like, in A New Hope, the Moff is like, you're all that's left of their religion. So...
yeah, because, I mean, the Jedi
is post-Jedi where everyone starts to just be like, I don't know, or...
well, because technically at that point, Luke's the last one.
Yeah.
That people know about. I mean, honestly, I don't think he's actually the last one. I think we definitely have some more, like, hermit Jedis out there. And obviously,
well, even while this is Leia happening, has the potential. Kanan running around.
Right. Yeah, exactly. If Kanan running around, Leia has the potential. But like, basically, as far as most people knew in that universe, that world, he was the last one at that point where the Jedis were already dying out and people probably already thought they were myths.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is that you probably already had a good 30 years of like, are they real? I haven't seen them in 30 years.
I guess it's just a weird thing to think about because we can see all the Star Wars stuff at once. So it almost feels like a mistake that sometimes they're like, these are what we have left of the Jedi. And then sometimes you have the Force Awakens trailer where they're like, there's stories of what happened. And he's like, the Force is real.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, and all they really need is like one line or one shot to just kind of be like, here's what happened.
Yeah.
And how it happened and why it happened. I just thought it was an interesting little thing to, because I was like, oh, well, all these people know about it, but Han's like, no way.
Yeah.
But these people know about it, but this person doesn't. I don't know.
The beginning of the loss of knowledge of Jedi.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun...
I like that. I think it's a cool idea.
That would be a really fun direction for Kanan's book to go. If, like, his story became how that myth started, since he's kind of the low-key guy.
Do you think they're going to put him in the films?
No.
No.
No. I think by the time Force Awakens happens, just by age, he's probably out. I don't think there's... I think... I wouldn't... Maybe we'll get, like, a one-off movie, but he's so, like, compartmentalized into the Rebel show.
Well, because we have, I mean, obviously, like, with, not to the Rebel show, but the Clone Wars show, obviously those characters are characters in the movie universe, so I wonder if they ever will cross some of the like ones that originated in the cartoons to the films, because technically it's all the same universe.
Yeah, they could. I think Disney and Star Wars likes to have their, like, this chunk is for TV, this chunk is for movies, this chunk is for comics, it's for this person, this person, this person. I can't.
Also, apparently at Disneyland, they're now selling the ugly Christmas sweaters, like the Star Wars ugly Christmas sweaters.
I want one.
Well.
So when I go next month, guys.
Well, on that note, guys, Harley, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to the Star Wars Book Club podcast. We're back with our ugly Christmas sweaters that we had to run off and grab.
It's so snuggly.
I know, it's so worn. Oh, man. We're going to talk right into Star Wars issue number 11, keeping on our main book ride.
She's still not my wife.
Yeah, but now we have a revelation. She really isn't his wife. They can stop
bickering. We know what happened.
But maybe they won't because Leia didn't hear him say it because she was gone when he opened the door.
See, here's my thing about that. The big reveal is that he goes, we're not really married, but we did get married, but it was a fake ceremony
a distraction.
Thank you, a distraction. But
because we were doing another scheme and trying to steal something.
Right, but I wonder what, like, the actual marriage laws in this universe are, because a lot of times, if you're married by a minister in our world, it's a real marriage, regardless of if you think it's fake or not.
Well, also, but in the Star Wars universe, are you married under the Force if there's no other real god or religion?
Well,
or is it all, like,
the law?
The law, I suppose.
But he was saying that he didn't say, like, didn't he say something like, I didn't say it? Like, I didn't say I do?
No,
him saying that.
What he says is, it had to look real, but Leia, I didn't. I don't, Leia.
I didn't say.
And then
say,
he just trails off.
He said, I didn't say.
I think what he means to say is, I don't love her,
yeah.
I think I think the idea is, we're technically married, but not emotionally, it's a sham.
We're married on only that planet, right. And it was a fake marriage.
That's another good question. Are you married across the galaxy, or is it planet by planet? Is
that
it under the Imperials?
That is actually a very interesting question.
I have so many Star Wars marriage questions.
We need a Star Wars marriage counselor to come on the show.
Also, if you got married before Disney bought it, are you just annulled?
Because you're not canon anymore.
Yeah, it never happened. Not only is it annulled, it just literally never happened. Like, the memories are just washed away.
Which means if, you know, Disney just makes a sweet deal with the Pope, every marriage gone. I just terrified you by making you think that Disney could take over the world.
Well, they kind of are.
They're getting there.
They're close.
But yeah, and I wrote down in my notes here that, like, that was supposed to be this big emotional moment for Han, but they've dragged out this he said, she said thing so long that instead of me being like, oh man, I was just like,
I was still touched because you don't see Han get emotional and tell the truth like that much. And in my head, of course, the art's so gorgeous. I was literally imagining, like, young Harrison Ford giving this monologue, and I was like,
I think you just have a thing for Harrison Ford.
That's completely obvious. Of course I do.
Taking it back to what we were talking about in the last segment, with, like, how they do such a great job of, like, capturing everybody's voice and, like, we read it in their voices, this was the one Han moment that I just couldn't hear in Harrison Ford's voice.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of on that boat.
Like, that emotional of a moment that he had
because he didn't have it in the movie.
But it feels
and that's why I couldn't hear it in his voice, I guess, is because there wasn't that level. He didn't have a scene that had that level of emotion in the original trilogy. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just like it's just different.
Which is why this moment was kind of nice, though, because we got to see him be emotional.
Yeah, and it's interesting for the character on that note, because we've been talking a lot about, like, does it factor into where they are in the movies? And this almost brings Han forward faster of doing that, because in Empire, he's still very, like, smug and snarky, and I don't really like you. You're just kind of the, like, I need to get this done until they kiss on the Falcon.
Well, yeah, but like, if she didn't hear that speech... Then he could totally still pull that off.
This is true. Also, where did she go? Because she's
gone. Was there a back exit out of that room?
Well, the thing that perplexed me was he opens up the door and she's gone. So there must be a back exit or a vent, or I don't know, she's hiding in a box like Solid Snake. But then...
What?
It's Metal Gear Solid. Tyler gets it. He plays video games.
No, I know, but why would...
There were boxes in there. It's a logic. Check the boxes, guys. Never trust a box.
What's in the box?
Never trust a box. Another good reason. But then at the end of the issue, she's on top of the Falcon with Han. And I was like, where did she go? We're missing a scene.
Maybe she went to the bathroom.
Is there a bath? I don't know the layout of that not Millennium Falcon ship, because I just realized that's also not the Falcon.
You don't. So why are you thinking so much about? There's probably a bathroom. Why would there not be a bathroom?
No, it's just weird that she like ran away and hid from Han and then just appeared on the ship.
Well,
on top of the ship.
She was already pissed at him. It's not that weird that she'd be like, fuck you, I'm going to walk away. Like, I'm going to go do something else.
It's not. But they really, I don't know. I just feel like they framed up that
room. She's not great with emotions either.
Well, the way Han like stopped and talked outside of the door made it seem like that was like a closet or a bedroom or like, you know, a room that she was just like, I'm going to be in this room and stay. And then when he opens it and she's gone, I was like, if that wasn't like if you got up and went into like the bedroom and slammed the door and I had to say something, I would be like, oh, I'll just talk through the door. But if you just went into the hallway of the apartment, I'm not going to stop and be like, Harley, listen. I'm going to open up the door and follow you through the hallway. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt like a weird beat, I guess, because of that. And maybe I'm overthinking that moment, but
yeah, I was just kind of like... this moment for me.
I was just like, where did Leia go? You're just happy because he's not married. Except to Leia.
Yeah, yo.
Unless we don't know. Maybe they're only married on Coruscant. That would be amazing if Han was like, no, Leia, this is just my, like, indoor wife. You and I, we can go get hitched on Tatooine. I've got women on every planet. Because, you know, he's Harrison Ford.
He could do that.
But, yeah, it was a really good emotional moment. But I do agree with Tyler, like, it was kind of... It made sense in terms of what's happening, but it was kind of the one moment where I was like, I can't see Han doing this yet. And I was just so... exhausted by this back and forth, because it's one of those things where we know they're not married because we have the other two movies. So I was sort of like, why are we spending so long on this moment? Just reveal what it actually is so we can move forward with these characters instead of standing still for four issues.
Yeah, and to clarify, it's actually a good thing when I say that, like, I couldn't picture this in like Han's voice, because it takes his character to a level of emotion that we haven't seen before. And I think that's a good thing. It just builds on his character. And it's just, again, all it's doing is further strengthening not only the original trilogy, but the Han that we're going to see in The Force Awakens. So it's a good thing. It's just like, it's one of those moments where it's like, man, nothing on this level has happened in terms of like dialogue with Han before. So it's just like, it's so different that it was like, for a moment, I'm like, wait, this is still Han talking, but it seems so different that I can't really picture it in his voice.
And it almost makes me wish, though, because you're right, like, it is such a heavy moment that I just feel like it was diffused by this long-winded, like, not my wife, you're my wife, he's my wife, she's not my wife, is this your wife? No, it's not my wife, it's my wife.
Five issues.
And that by the time she was like, it's not my wife, I was just like, thank you! Like...
Though, can I just say, for like someone who's not his wife, she's been pretty cool, like, you know, going and helping them.
Yeah. Because, you know, buy Han. We don't know what her motivations are, though, yet. Because she was very much like, I'll fly you to this planet if I get to take Han and do X, Y, Z with him. Like, for all we know, she's in cahoots with Jabba now.
Oh, the X, Y, Z.
Like, we don't know, because we haven't spent any time developing her character, because we've just been, she's just been like, I'm your wife. Which is actually interesting. Like, we've barely talked about her, because there's not much to talk about with her yet. Like, she just sort of showed up, demanded to take her husband back. Yeah. They're not really married.
Yeah.
So now, and I think that's another reason that that's tiring, is they introduced a character that could have been really interesting and new, and it's been five issues with her, and I can't tell you anything about her other than that she's not Han's wife.
Yeah, and I want to know more about her.
Yeah, like, I'm curious to see where, but now we're going to go into Vader Down.
Yeah. See, I'm in the different boat. I don't like her at all, and I don't really care to, and maybe that's because we've spent five issues where all she's been doing is just being like, he's my husband. No, she's not my wife. He's my husband. You're my husband. And I'm just like, okay, can you just go away, please? Maybe if, like, I actually had learned something else about her by this point, I'd want to know more about her. But right now, I just want her to just kick rocks. Like, I just want her to go away.
She's just desperate to get some Han.
Yeah, and I feel bad for saying that, because it is another, like, seemingly strong female character that we could have, but they're not doing anything to make her seem like a strong, like, to make her be an actually strong character.
And maybe they will, like, we don't know yet, but yeah, I do agree that, like, we've just had this one note character for so long that I'm just kind of like, it's like whenever they introduce a new character on anything and you don't like them as much as the main characters, it's what everybody's problem with Aftermath was. We didn't want to waste time with these people we don't know unless you can make me care about them. We want to spend time with Aphra and Vader because they made us care about her. We want to spend time with even, like, the new Hutt that Luke is fighting, because they took time to build that guy up. Also, he walks on, like, crab legs, and it's creepy as hell.
Yes, it is.
It's really weird.
It's been in my nightmares.
We'll get into that in a minute, because I want to talk some Luke. But, I'm just hoping they do something with her, because I feel like now they have a good moment to be like, why are you actually here? And if it turns out to just be like, well, I liked you, and we got married, and that marriage means something. Even though you don't love me, we have to agree to it. Blah, I'm just going to be mad.
Yeah.
If there's one more thing of the marriage, I'm just going to be like, get her out of here. I want Vader to land and cut her in half, and then just have Vader Down be the main people fighting Vader.
Yeah.
No, she's just a crazy chick being like, I want that hot man back in my life.
I really hope she ends up working with Jabba, because we saw Dengar.
I hope so, too. Yeah, I hope
and
so, too.
He was very much on Jabba, which I almost completely forgot about that plot until he was like, Jabba sends his regards, Chewie, where's Han? And I was like, oh, right, this is, like, the big thing about Han.
Yeah.
We need to see more of this.
Yeah, definitely.
Plus, Chewie, I like that they used Dengar. I like that they used Dengar because he's, like, worthless in the movies. And, like, the least interesting bounty hunter of all of the ones that Darth Vader hires.
Yeah.
And to see him actually, like, do stuff, you know, more than Boba Fett does.
I'm wearing Boba Fett earrings right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler.
And you're if welcome. I was blind, would I be able to accidentally knock them out of your ear without seeing them?
No, but you kind of look like you're blind today because you're wearing your sunglasses inside.
I know.
You douche.
I'm trying to make my city
isn't
a better
place. Isn't
that
weird trying to talk to him right now? Because, like, you can't really
it's
see
like
his eyes.
It's like he thinks he's better than us.
Yes.
He's he like thinks he's a, people.
He's wearing a button-up.
I have to go to work later.
I have to go to work later, too.
My work requires me to wear a button-up shirt.
I have to go to work later, too. It involves sitting at my computer.
Everyone's against me.
I'm wearing my Star Wars sweatshirt.
All right, talk about Luke before we get out of here.
Talking about Luke.
We're running long.
So the weird thing that I actually really want to bring up first with him, because now he's just in the, like, arena like a gladiator.
Which is dope.
It's
dude,
awesome.
Dude, I'm so excited.
Why didn't they give him his lightsaber? Like, when he goes into the fight, they hand him that one, and he's like, this isn't mine. Did anybody else catch that or think that was strange?
I mean, I remember the line. I guess I didn't think about it.
I didn't think about it either.
That is a really interesting point, Blake.
I think they're setting him up to fail. I think that
they're giving him one that's about to burn out.
Yeah.
Because they said they don't know how to maintain these lightsabers and keep them powered. So
to see what he can do without a lightsaber.
No, to die, because they want their money.
Yeah, they want the last Jedi to die. Yeah.
That too.
But I was really hoping that the Game Master, when he was talking to not Jabba, but the other Hutt, and he was like, oh, are you getting attached? And he was like, no, my job's to not get attached. And then he walked away. I was like, oh, he's going to turn out to be like another hermit Jedi or something. Yeah. Like he's going to be on Luke's side, and then he just called the Imperials, and I was like, oh no, I'm wrong.
That would have been cool, though.
But I was waiting for him to be like, I have the lightsaber and the and all these things, and like jump in and help him. Because he was like, he is strong in the Force. So I was like, oh, so you can detect that somehow. Because I don't think we've ever seen a non-Force-sensitive character be like,
yeah,
you're strong in the Force. Like, it's Qui-Gon being like, you have all these midichlorians. Or Yoda being like, he's angry. It's always somebody who knows how to use it being like, that motherfucker
Force-sensitive.
We should test his blood for those microscopic insects. Whatever midichlorians are. But yeah, I just thought it's interesting, too, watching Luke kind of on this journey of trying to figure stuff out, and now he's being thrown into, another Rancor, which I thought was kind of weird, because a part of me was like, I don't want to watch Luke grow that much in these comics, only, and it hasn't happened yet, but I still have this fear in the back of my mind that someone's going to get to a point in these comics that then when we watch Empire, we'll be like, why aren't they just doing the thing that they learned?
Yeah.
Like, if Luke gets too much, like, good training in, when he goes to Yoda, I'm just going to be like, this doesn't mean anything anymore. So, like, watching him in this big battle, and granted, it might just be lightsaber stuff that he learns, or something else is going to go down. But, like, back in, like, issue 1 or 2, he fought Vader quickly, and I was like, I don't want to see him fight Vader that much. Because that's going to take away the huge moments where he does fight Vader.
Yeah.
So that's my only little concern with Luke, but
yeah, I get that.
One of my favorite characters, so I do want to follow it.
I'm excited to see him battle.
Yeah. I hope we get a Luke miniseries after Force Awakens to show us in between 6 and 7.
Yeah, I know that we're getting another issue of Star Wars that's one of, I think it's like issue 13 is going to be another Obi-Wan story.
Give me all the Obi-Wan stories.
And then we are supposed to get a mini-series that's
Obi and Annie.
Obi and Annie. And then there was another one that they announced, too. I forget. And we're still waiting for the C-3PO one got delayed, I think.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was already supposed to be out. And then I was like, I looked at the release date and I was like, oh, no.
Well, unless y'all have anything else to say on Star Wars 11, I think we can wrap this little episode up.
Yes, sir.
And we'll, y'all can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/the Star Wars Book Club Podcast. Twitter at SW Book Club, as I hiccup a little bit. Instagram at Modern Nostalgia, which is also our website, modernnostalgiaproductions.com.
I just redid the website, actually.
Amazing.
It looks way better.
So go check that out. Listen to our other podcast, Two Player Split Screen, and our new podcast, Hollywood Already Did It. We have an episode up about Spectre and Fantastic Four, both of which are hilarious.
Yeah, go check those out, please. That podcast is a lot of fun to do, and we have gone 20 minutes over on both episodes.
there's a lot to get into on these terrible and sometimes good movies. But you can follow me personally on Twitter at QuakeBorder55. You can follow Harley at
Miss Harley R. Also, I'm doing Periscope now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so like a few times a week I'll be doing that, talking about what you should read, comics-wise.
There you go. And you can find Tyler at?
I'm at The Tie Game on Twitter. And yeah, like Blake said, go check out modernnostalgiaproductions.com. Been working really hard on it and trying to make it better every day.
All right. From all of us at the Star Wars Book Club Podcast, have a good day.
She's not my wife.
She's your wife.